Welcome to the Derek Loudermilk Show. This is episode 392 with Dita Young. Dita Young is the world's number one animal communicator. She is a TEDx speaker and four times best-selling author, and she's been a practicing psychic for more than 24 years. And she's my collaborator and co-facilitator of our course that we've created, the world's first science-backed telepathy and non-local consciousness training program, which is called Telepathy Initiation Live. And in this episode, we're going to break down what we learned about telepathy and consciousness from teaching this course to our students. Dita herself has trained over 450 people in telepathy with a 100% success rate. Our course, we had 28 students last year, in which I brought coaching techniques and scientifically validated training protocols combined with her expert ability to see what's going on during telepathy. So this is a very exciting conversation where we break down exactly what we understand to be going on in the process of learning and acquiring skill in telepathy and remote viewing and animal communication. Please enjoy. Dita, good morning, good afternoon, good evening.
Good evening to me and good morning to you, Derek.
So I thought we'd talk a little bit today about now that we've been collaborating for over a year on first you teaching me telepathy, then creating a course together. And there's been so many lessons, not just there's been telepathy lessons, business lessons, time zone lessons, all kinds of things in the process. But yeah, so for folks that don't know, Dita and I, we created a course last year to teach telepathy, non-local consciousness, remote viewing, all the things that I'm super interested in my podcast, people that I've had guest experts on. And we had 28 students go through, and that brings your total of telepathy students up to 450 or something like that.
Yeah, 450 now.
Yeah, so I feel like you probably taught telepathy to more people than almost anyone in the world, which is amazing. Where should we start? Where should we start this conversation?
We can start by letting me tell you how thankful I am, and to the viewers who are watching or listening to this, how thankful I am to see telepathy being a new thing. And we are creating a trend that will make people understand how they use telepathy already in their everyday life, but never ever thought about it was called something. It has a name, telepathy, you know. And to see our students improve and increase their talents every single time we meet them, I'm very thankful for being a small part of making people's life even better.
Why do you think that I'm not sure our course would have been successful 10 years ago, or we would have had the same intrigue, you know? Why do you think that it's taking off right now?
I think it's because people are tired of the ego. People are more into self-processing, trusting their own intuition, trusting their own self-worth more to have an easier life. I think people want a simple life. And if telepathy is one of the tools, which it is, to a more simple life, to abundance, to manifest things, to attract things, I think this is the reason why people are being attracted to this method, because it's no big thing. It's their intuition.
You know, it's so funny. I stumbled across an interview from 50 years ago with I'm not sure if it was a Harvard business professor. It was some well-known professor at a business school who ran basically a consulting group called like Use Your Business Intuition for CEOs. And I was like, wow, they've been doing this a long time. But I think somewhere it got lost. Like I think maybe in the 70s, sort of potentially off the back of the psychedelics 60s, there's a lot more interest in this. And then maybe in the 80s and 90s, it got like really shoved down by maybe more like rationalist type of movement. And then it's sort of resurfacing. So it's interesting to see sort of cultural trends in a sense.
I also remember The Secret, you know, didn't we all know about The Secret, you know, attracting things with the mindset, you know, but I think I love the book. I love the movie, but I also think that the next level of attending The Secret will be not about money, not about accomplishment or acknowledgement, but just about trusting yourself. Because when we trust ourselves and what we are capable of doing with our own mindset and our self-worth, we can do anything in the world, right? We can do anything. And I know you use telepathy in your business as well as a method, right, Derek? I do. But maybe you'll tell people here about how you practice telepathy business-wise.
Well, I started doing this in dream time, asking where am I going to find clients, or show me how to create my next program, or, you know, bring me a business partner, things like that. And, you know, I found it was an easy access point from practicing lucid dreaming. And it really just sort of makes it so you can do this during waking hours. Also, you know, give me the information that I need for whatever the next move is in business. And it's interesting that you mentioned The Secret, and this comes up a lot of like trying to make money with remote viewing, like try to see the future. And yes, it seems easier to use it in business decisions than it does to just like predict the lottery or predict a horse race or something like that. But this comes up all the time. Everyone's like, well, if it's real, then you would be rich. And what do you say to people that sort of come at it from that angle? Like, prove to me that this is real by showing me your bank account or something like that.
Well, I think that when having a gift like telepathy, clairvoyance, or remote viewing, or a healer, we never get to abuse those abilities. Becoming a true, real guru or, you know, a practitioner is never about the money. It's about love. It's only about love. So show me your bank account. No, show me a group of friends. Show me your family relations instead. And that's a proof of how good you are as a person and a soul.
Do family members, have you noticed, do they have better telepathic communication with each other?
I think that when we are connected, we have a better connection telepathically. So, of course, I'm a twin. So my twin sister and I do telepathy all the time. And we know that the twins are able to do that. But I could do the same with my mom. She's deceased now. But I was very, very combined related for being able to practice telepathy.
I had forgotten that you have a twin sister. Because you were adopted, right?
Yeah, from South Korea.
Were you guys adopted together?
Oh, yeah, thankfully, yeah. We came to Copenhagen, Denmark, where I'm located, in 1980s. We were 1 year old, and I remember being at the orphanage in Seoul. I remember so many things that should be impossible for me to remember. Wow. I don't know if it's my nervous system or my cells or unconscious mind, but I remember everything from Korea. So when I got to Korea many years later, it was like, I'm coming home. I remember the scents. I remember the smell, the food, the people. It was amazing.
Does your sister have the same level of telepathic gifts that you do?
Yeah, but she's afraid to use them. She's very gifted, very talented, and has a leading career in the business industry. But I think because I settled for an animal communicator. And since she loves, like fanatically loves animals, she would never be able to have my job because I also see people that are abusive. She would kill them all if she had my job. So this is the reason why she's not the one helping animals or children.
And you mentioned that she's afraid of her abilities in some way.
I think she's afraid of not being able to control them. And I think that with the people who are listening to this podcast or looking at it, I think many people will be afraid of what are we going to open up to? You know, so if I'm capable of practicing telepathy, can I see dead people? You know, and to those who are afraid of that, it will only come to you in the at the right amount of time when you aren't ready to see or sense. Have you ever thought about that, Derek, that you were afraid of opening up your abilities?
Well, one thing that I had to get around was my whole life I've been a scientist, a materialist. And it's been a many years progression of like, there's actually a lot of science that sort of proves that the material world is a byproduct of consciousness and not the other way around. But it really took me owning that to be able to sell and teach a course in telepathy. And I think probably a lot of the world, right, is stuck in this Newtonian Cartesian model because we've had several hundred years of like pushing like the 3D world is all there is. And partly that was just I can't remember the name of the council, but the church when science first started taking off, like in the age of Galileo and the Enlightenment thinkers, the church basically said, oh, like, ooh, they're getting into our territory of the spirit. So they called this council and they were like, okay, you scientists, you stick to the measuring the 3D world and we'll stick to matters of the spirit. And so they bifurcated. So they took consciousness out of the equation altogether. Like, don't study anything that's not like hard, solid. When we know that's only a sliver of people's experience. So now we're starting to like bring the complete science back together, I see.
Interesting. Have you heightened your senses after being in this telepathical world?
Yeah, so this is so fascinating, and I wanted to get your take on it. My sense is that all of my five senses, in particular sight and smell, for me, have been heightened. So like, especially on a spring day when the sun is out, like I can smell farther, like I can smell plants, you know, farther away in the park, or I can see more colors of the light spectrum almost. It's kind of like being on psychedelics all the time. What's up with that? Do you have a explanation?
It's because you started to use all of your senses. You know, my son, Philip, he was born blind. So living together with Philip for the first months until he was able to, you know, look at things and we got that vision back. Of course, I increased all of my other senses by shutting down my, you know, sense of being able to see out in the world. Increased my sense of smell, my sense of taste, et cetera, et cetera. When we are focused on being able to communicate, what is it we download, you know, because if I download a red ball, for example, from a dog during animal communication sessions, it's very important to know, are we outdoor or indoor? Do we like the ball? Or do we dislike the ball? Are we afraid of the ball? Are we getting very excited about the ball? So downloading telepathically, we need to feel, smell, see, sense everything. And this is the reason why I think your other five senses are increased.
It's really cool. And it, you know, I've also noticed that it increases my ability to be present with other people or whatever it is that I'm doing. But it's cool to see that there's like these correlated experiences or benefits. Some of our students have messaged me saying, like, I am getting precognition all the time. Like, I know what will happen to me today. Like, I know I'm going to meet an important person, or I know I'm going to like have a certain meal later, even though I haven't decided that. So, but it's not like super far in the future. It's just like that day or the next day is starting to come to them.
That's amazing. That's just a bonus that will follow with being a telepath. This is how they use it in their everyday life. They are prepared, you know, or maybe they attract it even, but I think it's a precognitive message being teleported to them or something.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And it's like, there's so much that we, and especially you, understand about how this works that I feel like it also opens up more questions. So maybe one of the big questions is like, when they're getting precognitive information, where is that information coming from, or where does it live, and how are they getting it? Do you know?
I think we all are born with a karma lesson, right? So we all have something to learn in our lives, but the way to see it represent itself in life varies, and you have the power over how you're supposed to learn it. So my karma lesson was neglect, of course, I'm adopted, and betrayal. And I think that kept on attracting betrayal in my life because I was aware of betrayal. And in the moment I removed betrayal from my brain, it never came back, you know? So I think it's a mix of controlling your thoughts and the karma lessons and the manifestations. What do you think?
That's really interesting. I hadn't thought about it in terms of a life path, but it totally makes sense. I was kind of just thinking like when you think about time, right? We as humans have this experience of moving linearly along a path. And my explanation for that is because it allows you to have discrete experiences. Like I learned this, and then I learned that, and then I learned, and I'm like moving through this. But the physics says time is simultaneous. When you go higher than the fourth dimension, then you can sort of perceive all time simultaneously. From that higher dimension, you could get the information from the past or the future sort of equally well. Although future seems to be more of a probabilistic, because there's still free will, that it's a, you know, a certain timeline would be like, this is the probable outcome, but not the certain outcome. So I see it as like our ability to shift our perspective to a higher dimension so that we can sort of perceive the information. So it's kind of like you're just getting outside of the 3D in a sense.
I also think you only get the probable informations because many of the things we think about or we wish for in the future are dependent on other people, and we do not have the power over other people's lives. So that is the maybe. But if we only focus on ourselves, what to attract, what we want in life, what to eat, it will come to you 100% if you can focus on it. And this is what telepathy is all about. It's about focus.
Yeah. And so what I'm hearing you say is like, you might get what you want, but it could come like in any number of ways. Like if the most probable person that was going to help you get that, if they choose not to, then like, it's going to have to come from the next.
Yes, exactly.
One down the line. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. You mentioned earlier about am I going to be hearing dead people? Am I going to be walking down the street and just like hearing everyone's thoughts? There's got to be something in here around like having a boundary, because you need boundaries, you know, even with your family members. But theoretically, there's like a lot more happening in the unseen world. So could you talk about boundaries to make sure that people aren't overwhelmed when they start practicing telepathy?
I'm sorry, there was just
Yeah, could you talk about how to set up boundaries or the need for boundaries when you first start practicing this stuff?
I think it's a matter of a need for protection, you know, because if one person are just open to everything, doesn't mind how to use your energy or how many people you're going to help, or many animals or Alzheimer patients, and you're going to empty yourself, then you can become very, very sick from practicing telepathy, because this is energy work. But if you have to protect yourself, that is your boundary. You know, I can only take in 3 clients a day, or I can only spend 4 hours focused on telepathy, and then I need to shut down to protect myself. Maybe that's the same thing, boundaries and protection. But I think that you need to be aware of protecting yourself as an energy worker.
Okay, so protecting yourself and allowing time to process through like the clients that you're working with. But what about, because there's a small percentage of people and beings in the universe that are not very nice. So if you open yourself up, how do you make sure that some like malicious entity won't come into your field?
Well, I know it sounds a little bit too simple, but this is the truth. So there are 2 things. Equal attracts equal. So you can only attract what you're ready for or what you already know something about, you know. So you would never attract a malicious person, because you're such a loving, caring person, Derek. You know, that's one thing. The other thing is there are spirits that will cling on to us because they need to feed on our energy, and they are low on energy. And you can only attract them if you are low on energy. And then we are back to protection again, because some spirits might cling on to you when you're going out your front door, you know, and that you cannot control. But you do control your energy field, never being able to take those clinging spirits onto your soul and bring them back home.
Gotcha. So this is almost like, you know, stuff that Tony Robbins was onto for a long time, which was managing your state, managing your personal, you know, he has like the exercises that the prime your day, where you wake up in the morning and you're managing your state to ensure that you're in the highest frequency possible to start your day. And so my theory is that if you create like a mantra and perhaps like a totem with like a physical object that puts you in a high frequency state. So I often, before I'm doing a telepathy practice, I often just think of my kids because I love them, and it instantly raises my frequency to a sort of loving vibration.
And I use prayers. I pray for archangels or guardian teams or the universe to protect me and let my energy only be my energy, but I'll still be able to interpret other persons' or animals' energy fields, but I will never take it in to my own body. Because when I do telepathy with, for example, animals, they transfer their pain, physical pains, into my body. And after years, I saw myself with aching pains all over the place. And I was like, I'm too young to be in such pain. And I, you know, I experienced this is not my pain, it's my client's pain. So I started to do this, you know, mantra as well as you are saying, you know, and asking for being protected. And I do that every single time before a session.
And I'm hearing, you know, maybe people in the audience asking, is it as simple as that? Can I just say like, please protect me and I will be protected?
Oh, yeah, because the guardian teams are living around us. They're part of us, our well-being, and they will help us if you ask for it. For example, have you heard about the parking guide? Do you have a parking guide?
Who gives good parking spots?
Yes. Because you know what? Just practice it. If you doubt, before you enter or before you leave your home and you have to go into the city, wherever you are located in the world, and you know it's difficult to get a good parking space, just visualize where it is. Ask for, I need it to be, available when I'm coming with my car, and take a look. It works every single time.
Do you say it out loud?
I just think about it. I just think about it. And if we know that was a freaking parking lot, could we ask for more? And it will work.
Is there any benefit to saying things out loud?
Well, it will double the energy, like doing a vision board will triple it, or doing the visualization in front of your inner eyes would double it as well. Writing it down will double the energy or your focus. So, of course, it will help you to say it out loud.
When I interviewed Stefan Schwartz, he said that success in, he's a remote viewing researcher, but he said success in remote viewing boils down to intentioned, focused awareness. So we have three components: intention, which we just covered, focus, and awareness. I feel like we have a crisis of focus a little bit in our culture today, which kind of makes it a little bit harder to have intention, focus, awareness. Could you talk a little bit about the focus aspect of sort of learning telepathy?
I think it's important to, and how to practice this even better if, for the people who meditate, because a lot of people have a constant battle or conflict in their brain. Should I do this? Should I not? I'm positive, no. And then we have the negative thoughts. I might move forward, no, it will not, get me somewhere. So we are always debating in our head. And to focus on the things we need and remove away that white noise would improve your telepathical skills and manifestations as well.
I don't know if you heard the they're cheering across the street at the marijuana grow shop. They're giving away free marijuana plants today, so everyone's cheering.
That's what I heard. Okay. I thought it was us, like Derek did
Yeah.
it.
So what about marijuana or psilocybin mushrooms or any of that, like useful for enhancing telepathy, or it doesn't matter.
Oh, I would never applaud using, not that I'm against it at all. I would never applaud using anything for the work that I do because it's not necessary. But I know that you taking mushrooms or using marijuana will help your brain or shut down parts of the brain that will make it easier to work with the pineal gland that we work with on our class, right? But you've done both, right, Derek? So maybe you can tell me, do you sense any difference?
So let me start by talking about the biochemistry of psilocybin. It seems to open the patterns, right? The patterns of thought. So you don't have such rigid ways of thinking. They say it's like a fresh snowfall on a hilltop. Like if you're on a ski hill and people have been going down, they leave these tracks in the snow and your thoughts like go through the same tracks again. But then the fresh snowfall, which is the psilocybin, sort of resets everything. So you could pick an entirely new path down the hill, which is an entirely new way of thinking. So it's more about processing, I think, after you get the information. It's more like once it comes into your awareness, you might be able to process it differently. I don't know so much about marijuana. I think marijuana might actually open the gates to a broader spectrum of information. Because when I've used it, I'm able to get sort of a lot more emotional cues in group settings. Like I understand more deeply people's emotional needs to do things, but I don't know. Could it just be how it affects me?
Or maybe, Derek, it's because you are more aware of your emotions using help, you know, because I'm very into, I don't know, it's just a question, open question here. I'm super sensitive. I'm very emotional, you know. I sense everything. I sense if my parts of my body has, oh, for example, it's very personal, but I like to share it. I just figured out that I had a cyst inside of my body and I could sense it. And my doctor was like, no, you don't. And I was like, I know I have it. Okay. And every single time it's been like happening two times in my life, every single time I react on this, they find like this, the tiniest things inside of my body. And maybe they conclude, we're not going to give you medicine. We're not going to do anything about it. But you were actually right. That's how sensitive I am. So I don't need things, or maybe I should try it, but I'm afraid of using things that will make my energy low instead of being focused in my brain and constantly know that I'll be on a high frequent myself, being very clear in my mind.
Yeah, that's so there's definitely we're kind of representing two different groups of people. Like I teach myself telepathy through the same way that I practice other skills. Like I design training exercises that give me a set of experiences so that I can progress like in sports or in music or whatever. And you, I think, represent the people who are already highly empathic, like they're already sensing the world around them to a greater degree. And my understanding is that's probably like a third of the population or a quarter of the population who are empaths. And then you also mentioned that there's like a genetic component, like you and your sister already have this ability. And I think there is, because of all the people I've interviewed, they say it runs in my family or we have a family gift. So there's definitely something like psychic abilities have a genetic component, but you don't need the genetics. But
No.
it just means you're starting like from a more regressive place, like me.
But wasn't it unexpected for you to see how basic it is or how easy it was for our students and yourself included? It takes about like 5 minutes to activate telepathy, but you know, from going there to learn how to load a horse onto a trailer or help with behavioral issues. It requires a little bit more, but was it unexpected for you?
Well, that first time that you taught me telepathy and I got it within 5 minutes. Yeah, I was blown away. I didn't think it was so accessible. And you're so super confident that it's accessible to everyone.
Yes, I am. I remember in the beginning you said, "Are you sure, Dita? Are you because you're so confident." I'm like, "Trust me on this one. I'm sure." I've seen this for 24 years. There are no who's gonna fail. Nobody's gonna fail this one.
And this seems to be, so remote viewing has probably been the most studied scientifically of the non-local information just because it was used in the intelligence community by so many countries and they put a lot of resources behind it. But they said, yeah, the whole, it's distributed throughout the whole population. Everybody can do this.
Yeah, it's no biggie. I enjoy whenever we do this in our class, and we also have a study group. Like we had a monthly study group for people that went on to our class. We're definitely going to continue this one after our next one, and the next class is certified. I find it so interesting to watch on the screen when we're live, when people in the world. I look at you know, when you're downloading thing telepathically, and I see it, the way it's coming to you or the other students, and I'm super excited about that. That's that has taken it to a different level for me too, because I wasn't able to do that 24 years ago. It came to me like maybe 10 years ago, and I can tell that I'm improving this ability as well.
So did you intentionally develop the ability to see other people's telepathy?
I don't think I did it intentionally. I think it just came to me as an extra gift as being a teacher, because I think somebody, the universe, I don't know, my guardian team wanted me to see it to heighten their senses or helping them to improve where they're blocked, where are the blockage and why are they blocked here? So to create them a better telepath, what can I do as a therapist, a coach and a telepath to help them? So I think it just heightened everything, giving me this ability to do it.
So it was kind of something you asked for.
It just came to me, actually.
Why are you teaching telepathy?
I think it's a good question, because people often ask me, why are you doing this? Because then you will run out of clients or you will have no job at all. And I know for sure that my life mission here, while I'm here on Earth, is to teach people to become better persons. And they become better persons when they know what to use their own abilities for or to. For example, if you're an amazing healer, why shouldn't we help them to take the path to become a healer? You know, when I see an animal communicator, why shouldn't I help the person that's interested in taking this path to become the best animal communicator in the world, remote viewer, clairvoyant, or whatever? And to go on a telepathical journey is also a matter of personal growth. Maybe we have some testimonials we can talk about here in a few minutes, that it is not only a matter of learning a method, it's life-changing to enter telepathy. And this is my life mission, to help people doing that. Have you heard some of our students tell you about a personal journey or personal growth?
I'm thinking of Marianne right now. Yeah. I like her story because she walks, she goes on these long walks around her town, and she was a field biologist before this. And so she has sort of an intimate knowledge of the flora and the fauna already, but she's walking around talking now to the hawks and the raccoons and the, you know, the critters and the plants in her town. And I can just imagine it'd be like, it's just such a richer experience, right? Instead of just observing them as a sort of from a scientific lens, now having relationships with these critters that you see on a regular basis.
We also heard about this project where they talk to plants in schools. We had students in schools talk with positive mindset to one plant and being negative to another plant. And the negative thought project killed the plant. It actually died. And the other was a telepath seeing that, because it proved, okay, energy and thought and mindset have an effect on our surroundings.
Yeah, that reminds me of the in the 60s when the guy developed the lie detector, which is essentially just electrode potential that they put on the surface of the skin. And when you're lying, it changes. And so they hooked this up to plants, and they noticed that the lie detector would squiggle when you harmed the plant, like if you burned the leaf or if you cut a leaf off. And then even thinking about burning the plant would trigger the lie detector squiggle. So they realized that this, you know, the plant was picking up on
attention,
the person's thought. And then then this guy, he would go farther and farther away from the plant. He went in the next room and it worked. He went in the like next city, 7 miles away, and it worked. And then he went all the way across the world to the Czech Republic and it worked. So they proved that, you know, the plant is picking up on his intentions, even from across the world.
Amazing. This is also interesting for me to know this because I've never heard about that project. Because we work with pictures, we don't even have to be present. We work with people from all over the world sitting there in different time zones, in different parts of cities or countries. And yet still, we manage to do telepathy, And this is just a proof of what you said.
Yeah, have you so if time and space are not a constraint, have you played around with like historical doing telepathy with any historical figures or anything like that?
People are gonna laugh at me now. The last historical, not that historical, person I communicated with was actually Michael Jackson. And he, have I told you that story, Derek?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. I just got my son Philip, and he was up at night, wanted to have milk from me. So I was up, and because we were in Denmark, we were like 9 or 6 hours ahead, depending on if it's Pacific or Eastern time. And I remember all of a sudden I saw Michael Jackson sitting close to me, like next to me. And I was like, are you kidding? And I was like, no, this is not gonna happen. So I ran into my living room and turned on the TV, and I saw on the news that Michael Jackson was dead. And I was like, no, my God, I think this was an accident because they thought somebody killed him to begin with. So he was still with me. And I said, why are you here with me? I'm just a normal person living in Europe. How did you find me? And he said, because I looked for light and there was this light coming from your skull to where I am. Like,
Whoa.
was standing above me, and he was looking down. He saw a spotlight and he was like, oh, I need to go there. And that was my head. I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. This is the reason I figured out Michael Jackson died.
Did he ask anything of you, or what did he want?
Yeah, actually, he told me, can you tell the world it was an accident? And I was like, I don't think that I, little Ditte from Denmark, can tell the world, but I will, cheer them on, And then I followed the whole process with his doctor and being accused of, an overdose. And I think I can't remember the final thing, but I remember I rested when I saw it was an accident.
Wow. Do you still talk to Michael Jackson?
No, I haven't opened up to him yet, but my boyfriend is a huge fan of Prince. So when he heard that story, he said, can we communicate with Prince? And I was like, well, let's do it one day, one time. But whenever we call up people from on the other side, they're busy, they're preoccupied as well. I can never force a person to come and speak with me, but in 99% of the time, I'm succeeding with doing it.
You would think they would be able to like split their attention, like they could still do their work, whatever they're doing, and also talk to you.
I think they
That seems
could.
okay.
I think they could. Because you can also, print an energy print anywhere in the world. So when I'm here, located where I am, I know many people have said they saw me in different parts of the world. And I'm like, but I'm not there. I'm here. And sometimes I also know that when I, during my sleep, for example, I think it was like 4 years ago, we had the war in Syria where people literally walked to Europe. They walked all the way from Syria with no shoes on. And in the beginning, I never thought about Syria when I woke up and my feet, they were so sore. I was like, what have I been doing? I've been laying down on a mattress. And then I tuned in to it. I was like, I need to figure out what's going on with my feet. Do I need to see a doctor? And then I saw a clear image of me walking with them. And I was like, okay, this actually makes sense. And then the next night, I asked my guardian team not to take the walk from Syria, just to rest for one night.
Wow, you're busy. I have a friend that wants to learn bilocating, like physically being in two places at once. Do you have any insight on how to learn that skill?
If you are in a meditative state of mind, like when you because you can do take yourself back to another life as well with the same practice. And maybe we should teach our students that the next time if interested. But just to give the basic tips, if you are in a meditative state of mind and you lower your brain frequencies, then you have to visualize you have a silver thread going from your navel or your stomach out in the universe, and then you need to teleport yourself to wherever you want to be. That could be a prior life, a future life, or another country. And then it takes a bit of exercise because you are not really present. So you need to remember everything when you come back to your own body. But this is how you can transportate yourself.
So it sounds like you're talking a little bit about astral projection. Would that, can you actually physically accomplish things? Like if I was here, could I also go to my friend's wedding in an on another continent and like physically be there?
Yeah, but you have to do it subconsciously where you are now. You cannot be conscious in both places.
Right, so you leave, so your body would just kind of be sitting there in a meditative state. And then, okay, interesting. That corroborates with what Castaneda wrote in his books about Don Juan. So they would make sure that their body was protected and hidden when they would go and do these bilocating events. So like, don't ever let someone move my body while I'm away.
Exactly, because then it can't return and it's actually pretty dangerous. So whenever we do this work, usually if people are sitting in a chair leaving their own physical body, we need some guides to guard them not to be touched. Or for example, you know it if you have a dream and you're teleported or do telepathy in dream time and all of a sudden somebody's going to wake you up like woo and you're getting shocked, you know. Maybe your soul is not coming into its right place, and then the entire day you'll be, walking into chairs and feel like, why am I outside of my body? Have you experienced that, Derek? Like, why am I doing this? Like, really
Interesting. Yeah.
clumsy because you are in the wrong place.
Oh, interesting. Like your soul is offset from your physical.
Yeah,
Oh,
because it
wow.
was a shocker. Yeah. We could go on for days talking about this, Derek.
This is, yeah, super cool. Yeah, what haven't we talked about that's important to mention?
Yeah, we have.
Is there anything else that we want to, that you want to cover that that we haven't, that I haven't brought up yet?
No, just that I'm super excited about, working together and doing this cross country, seeing this increased interest of our work. I love that.
Yeah, and I really just noticed, like I put these little clips up on TikTok, just talking about like here's an interesting science experiment around telepathy or remote viewing, and people are super curious. There's a lot of comments are just like, oh wow, where can I learn more? Or like, how, I had no idea. So I feel like, obviously like people are searching. I'm getting the people that are searching for it. And every now and then there's someone who's like, this isn't real. And I'm like, well, just go look at the, go look at the research. So yeah, there does seem to be a lot of sort of interest in the general population. But it's for people that, I think the pandemic with all of its self-reflection caused people to realize, oh, there might be more going on than I have been aware of. And so they start disassembling their own biases, their own programming to an extent. And those are the people that seem to be interested in learning about telepathy. People that are super, that want to keep their programming, like they're just like, they don't even realize that it's a thing.
I agree. But it is.
All right. So if anyone is, has been curious about our program, if you listen to this in 23 before April 5th, starting April 5th, we'll probably run the spring one and do it again in the fall if we have the capacity.
Yeah, so, I'm up for that. I'm up for that.
Super. Well, good to spend time with you as always, and I'll be seeing you next week, I guess.
Yeah, we'll be seeing a lot to each other.
Yeah, it's wonderful. All right, thanks, Dita.
And thank you, Derek.
Bye-bye.
Bye.